Our text is Psalm 103, verses 19 through 22. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Beloved, in this beautiful psalm, the psalmist has blessed Jehovah. He has blessed Jehovah with his soul, or with his whole inner being. That all that is within me, he says, bless his holy name. And the psalmist has good reason to bless Jehovah. We've seen that throughout the psalm. Especially, he blesses Jehovah in this psalm because of Jehovah's mercy. In mercy, in compassion, in kindness, in pity, Jehovah, his God, has given the psalmist many benefits for which the psalmist is thankful. And now towards the end of the psalm, the psalmist realizes that he himself, as an individual, is not sufficient to bless the name of Jehovah. He all by himself is not sufficient adequately to bless Jehovah's name. Because Jehovah is so great and so glorious that the psalmist must enlist others to add their voices to his little voice on the earth. Not only all of the other believers in Israel at this time must bless Jehovah, but the psalmist looks upwards and around himself to find others whom he will then enlist to bless Jehovah's name. And thus he calls, toward the end of this psalm, thus he calls all creatures great and small, to join him in blessing Jehovah's name, which is a fitting and a beautiful ending to this beautiful psalm of praise. Notice then, all creatures called to bless Jehovah. All creatures called to bless Jehovah. Notice first the universal call, and then the compelling reason for this call, and then the important activity contained in this call. All creatures called to bless Jehovah. As the psalmist looks around and considers God's great works, he names three categories of creatures whom he then calls to bless Jehovah. And these three categories really represent all the creatures that Jehovah the Lord has made. First, he mentions the angels. The angels, verse 20. Bless the Lord, ye his angels. And the word angel in the Old Testament means a messenger. A messenger. And the messengers, the angels here, are the heavenly messengers. Thus, the translation of angels. And as it were, the psalmist who's on the earth, in his mind eye, looks upward to where the angels are surrounding the throne of Jehovah in heaven. We know very little about the angels. They are a very mysterious creature of God. We have never seen an angel, nor do we expect in this lifetime to see an angel. But they are creatures as we are creatures. But they are invisible spirits who are only known when they appear to individual human beings on the earth, as they have done throughout the history of God's people, especially in the Old Testament, and also toward the beginning of the New Testament. They are invisible spiritual creatures. And these creatures, the angels, they dwell closer to God than we do. We are far away. The angels are in the presence of God in heaven. They dwell in God's nearer presence, you might say. And there are many of them. There are myriads of such glorious beings in heaven. The closest we get to knowing the number of them is in Revelation 5:11, where we're told that there are 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of angels. And these angels, says the psalmist, are strong. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength. Angels are not weak. We are weak. We are creatures of the dust. We are weak. Angels are strong. They excel in strength. And they're swift. They can move very rapidly from heaven to earth as soon as God sends them from heaven to earth. And as spiritual creatures, the angels have no hindrance of the flesh. Their being is not a physical substance as our being is, but a spiritual substance. And they have supernatural powers. Hebrews 1 verse 7, we read this about the angels. And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. Swift as fire, bright as light, excellent in strength are the angels of God. And they are holy. They are without sin. Holy spiritual beings. No sinful flesh corrupts the angels. No sinful inclinations spoil their service of Almighty God in heaven. And these angels, says the psalmist, do his commandments. Verse 20. That do his commandments. What Jehovah the Lord above says, the angels do. They ask no questions, they simply do. For an angel, Jehovah's word is law. For an angel, Jehovah's wish is the angel's command. If Jehovah says to an angel, stand here in my presence and praise me by saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of his glory, the angel does it. He stands there and praises Jehovah's name with the words that Jehovah has given him. If Jehovah says to an angel, go to Eden and stand there with a flaming sword to keep men from the tree of life, and stay there as long as I have assigned you to stay there, the angel goes. If Jehovah says, go to Sodom and bring out Lot and his wife and his two daughters, the angel obeys. If Jehovah says to an angel, go and smite 175,000 of the Assyrians who are surrounding my people in Jerusalem, the angel goes. The angel obeys. And some angels are cherubims, and some angels are seraphims. Some are archangels, some are ordinary angels, some are principalities and powers, and all the rest. And there's no rivalry between these angels. There's no jealousy or envy among the angels. Every angel knows his place. Every angel occupies his place with contentment. And the psalmist then further explains this angel's obedience in verse 20, hearkening unto the voice of his word. That word hearkening means that they are listening for it, that they are hearing it. As it were, the angels are not preoccupied with their own business, but they are alert. They are, as it were, with their ears pricked, listening for the commandment of their God. And they're eager to receive a commission from their great king. And in the Bible, of course, the word hearing doesn't mean to hear and then to ignore, but rather it means to obey. The angels quickly and immediately obey whatever they hear from Jehovah's voice. Obedience is immediate, wholehearted, enthusiastic, and devoted. No grumbling, no complaining, no disputing, no dragging their feet, as it were. They go and they do precisely what Jehovah tells them they must do. And the Heidelberg Catechism, in its explanation in question and answer 124 about doing God's will, says this: that everyone may attend to and perform the duties of his station and calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels do in heaven. And here we have the first category of creatures that the psalmist calls upon that they should bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, ye his angels. Next are Jehovah's hosts. Hosts. Verse 21. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts. And here we transition from conscious creatures, such as angels, to mostly unconscious and even inanimate creatures, namely hosts and works. A host in the Bible is an army. An army. And Jehovah is called, you'll find this name many, many times in the Old Testament especially, Jehovah is called the Lord of hosts, or Jehovah of hosts, or the Lord of armies. And the idea of that name, Jehovah of hosts, is that the whole of creation is to be viewed as the army of Jehovah, and Jehovah is to be viewed as the captain over all of those hosts. Jehovah, as it were, commands all his creatures as many soldiers in his army. And that name, therefore, speaks to us of God's sovereignty and power over all things. Everything, absolutely everything without exception, does the bidding of Jehovah of hosts. Not only his people on the earth, not only angels, but all the creatures which God has made, they are under his direction. They are part of his army. What Jehovah says, they do. What Jehovah determines, they perform. There are many different kinds of creatures in the Bible which are called hosts. Sometimes the angels are called hosts, although probably that's not the meaning here, because we've had angels already in verse 20. Sometimes the host of heaven, sun, moon, and stars, that's also a reference to God's hosts. But really, the term hosts is a reference to any number of creatures that Jehovah God has at his disposal. And then it is explained further in verse 21, where it says, "Ye ministers of his." Jehovah's hosts are Jehovah's ministers. And a minister here is not a pastor of a church, that kind of minister. The minister here is simply a servant. A servant. To minister to someone is to serve that someone. And Jehovah's hosts, therefore, serve him, just as soldiers serve their commanding officer. Therefore, whoever or whatever serves Jehovah is his host or his minister. Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel 4:35 speaks of the army of heaven. The army of heaven. Moses refers to the host of heaven in Deuteronomy 4:19, which is there a description of the sun and the moon and the stars, which they were not permitted to worship. Genesis 2 verse 1 speaks of all the host of them. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. Bildad in the book of Job, chapter 2, verse 11, says, "Is there any number of his armies? Is there any number of his armies?" And Joel, in chapter 2, verse 11, says this about locusts. He sends a locust swarm upon Israel and judgment upon them. And he says about the locust this, "And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army," or host, "for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it?" Locusts, there are Jehovah's hosts, or Jehovah's ministers. All these, therefore, and everything else, are Jehovah's hosts or armies. And these hosts or armies of Jehovah, or the ministers of Jehovah, says the psalmist, do his pleasure. "Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure." Jehovah's pleasure is what God is pleased to do. Or Jehovah's pleasure is what God is pleased to have done. And Jehovah, unlike us, he always does all his pleasure. That's the characteristic in the Bible of the true God. He does his pleasure. Psalm 115, verse 3, "But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased." Psalm 135, verse 6, "Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he, in heaven, in earth, in the seas, and in all deep places." Ephesians 1, verse 9, "Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself." And you see here a distinction between God's good pleasure and God's commandments. God's good pleasure is always accomplished, even by unwitting, that is, unknowing, and unwilling instruments, creatures. God's commandments, however, are not always obeyed. They're often disobeyed. Not by angels, of course, for they always do his commandments, but by sinners on the earth. God's good pleasure is performed by all of God's hosts, all of God's ministers. God's commandments are performed by his angels. Therefore, the fish that swallowed Jonah did Jehovah's pleasure. And the worm that destroyed Jonah's gourd did Jehovah's pleasure. And the frogs that multiplied in Egypt and the locusts that devastated Judah, they did Jehovah's pleasure. And the lions that did not devour Daniel, but devoured Daniel's enemies, they also did Jehovah's pleasure. And the fire that fell upon Sodom and Gomorrah did Jehovah's pleasure. All creatures, whether animal or vegetable or mineral, whether earthly or heavenly, whether conscious or unconscious, whether willing or unwilling, are Jehovah's hosts, a vast army that does Jehovah's pleasure. And then third, we have his works. Verse 22. "Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion." And the word work means a deed, something that God does, an activity of God, or a work that is something that God has made, a creature of God. Everything we see around us that happens in the history of the world is Jehovah's work. When God causes the sun to shine, that's one of his works. When God causes the wind to blow, that's Jehovah's work. The rain is Jehovah's work. The buzzing of a fly is Jehovah's work. The barking of a dog is Jehovah's work. The singing of a bird is Jehovah's work. When the grass grows, Jehovah is working. When water flows, Jehovah is working. When fire burns, Jehovah is working. Everything a scientist studies in his laboratory is one of Jehovah's works, even if the scientist doesn't believe that Jehovah exists. And all of these works come together to perform great and mighty works. The outworking of or development of history is Jehovah's work. The upheaval in politics of nations, whether through wars or through lawful elections, is Jehovah's work. The gathering of the church from the nations is Jehovah's work. In summary, wherever God has his dominion, that's verse 22, in all places of his dominion, we have Jehovah's works. Wherever God rules, therefore, we find Jehovah's works. The whole creation is Jehovah's work. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. And notice the universality of this call. All ye his hosts, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Says the psalmist here, let there be no exceptions. Let there be no silent, dissenting, or grumbling angel who refuses to bless the name of Jehovah. Let there be no silent soldier among the ranks of Jehovah's hosts. Let none of Jehovah's works be silent when the call goes forth to all to bless Jehovah's name. In fact, if God did give voices to all of his creatures, they would praise him. All the birds of the air would sing his praises. All the fish of the sea would join the symphony of praise. The trees would sing, the mountains would sing, the rivers would sing, they'd clap their hands if they could. We must too. We have voices. We have consciousness. We know Jehovah. We must sing his praise. Remember what the critics of Jesus said when they heard the people cry out to Jesus, Hosanna in the highest, praising Jesus as he entered into Jerusalem that day. Remember what the critics had said. Remember what Jesus responded in Luke 19, verse 40. I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. The stones would even praise Jehovah. Bless the Lord, ye his angels. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts. Bless the Lord, all his works. That's the call. The reason for this call is given in verse 19. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. In other words, the reason for the universal call to bless the name of Jehovah is that God is the great king, ruling over all. We have here the sovereignty of God. God's sovereignty means that everyone must bless his holy name. All the creatures, angels, and hosts and works must bless Jehovah's name. And there are three words in the text here that really underline this idea of God's sovereign control over all things. First, in verse 19, we have his throne. His throne. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens. Jehovah, says the psalmist, has a throne. He rules over all things from his throne. Not, of course, a physical throne or a chair which would limit him, but rather the throne is a symbol of his authority to rule. He is, after all, the infinite, everywhere present, glorious, spiritual God of heaven and earth. And he has a throne. A throne which is a symbol of his authority. It's his throne. The Lord hath prepared his throne. No one else has this throne. No one else shares Jehovah's throne. No creature sits on the throne with Jehovah. He shares his glory with no creature. It's his throne. He has a kingdom too. A kingdom. And this idea of kingdom has the idea really of royal splendor. He has a throne, and with that throne he has royal splendor. His kingdom ruleth over all. It's a glorious kingdom. It's a majestic kingdom. And it's a good dignity and pomp, this kingdom. This kingdom shines forth with all the glory of God, with all the attributes of Jehovah. It's a holy and a righteous kingdom. It's a powerful kingdom. A kingdom ruled in wisdom and knowledge. A kingdom of power and might. Brighter, more glorious, more dazzling than the stars or than the holy angels of heaven. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, it has not entered into the heart of man to conceive of the glory of Jehovah's kingdom. And this kingdom rules over all. The throne, the kingdom, and third dominion. Verse 22. In all places of his dominion. If Jehovah's throne is the symbol of his power and authority, if Jehovah's kingdom is his glory or majesty or royal splendor, then Jehovah's dominion is the exercise of his power and authority, or his active rule in and over all things. And Jehovah's dominion, his domain or his realm, is universal. It's not restricted to one place in heaven or one corner of the earth. Verse 22, in all places of his dominion. The vast expanse of the universe belongs to him. He rules in heaven. He rules on earth. He rules in the skies. He rules in the seas. He rules on the land. He rules in every corner of the universe. And therefore says the psalmist, bless him, ye angels. Bless him, ye hosts. Bless him, ye ministers of his. Bless him, all his works. And this kingdom and this throne are prepared. Verse 19, the Lord hath prepared his throne. God's power then does not depend upon anyone else, anyone or anything outside of himself. He has prepared his own kingdom. He prepared his kingdom from everlasting, for his kingdom is from everlasting to everlasting. Jehovah did not become king by some process by which a man might become a king. Jehovah did not hire a campaign manager to gain his power. Jehovah's power does not depend upon the consent of the governed. He has prepared his own throne. And the idea of that prepared is to set up and to establish and to settle and to make firm. He has made his kingdom, his throne, firm, unshakable, immovable, secure, and eternal. No one, therefore, can challenge Jehovah's throne, not successfully anyway. Satan attempted to challenge that throne. God cast him out of heaven. The ungodly on the earth, they dispute his throne. Jehovah, in Psalm 2, laughs at them, holds them in derision, and scatters them in his wrath. And that kingdom, that throne, is in heaven. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens. It's a majestic kingdom. A kingdom of great exaltedness. The puny thrones and kingdoms of this earth are nothing in comparison to Jehovah's throne. It's an unreachable throne. For who can mount into heaven to reach the throne of God? From his heavenly height in heaven, he can see, looking majestically down upon us from above, what the creatures of the earth are doing, but the inhabitants of the earth cannot reach him in heaven. It's an incorruptible throne in the place of perfect splendor, perfect holiness, perfect purity, a throne founded upon his own righteousness. We cannot attain to that throne except God in his mercy deliver us and bring us up to see that throne and to live before that throne as he will when he takes us in death and in the last day to dwell with him forever. And therefore we must not fear. The throne from which the universe is ruled is in heaven. Jehovah has prepared the throne himself. No one can move that throne or shake that throne or change that throne. We have perfect security then in believing in this great king. In other words, Jehovah God is absolutely sovereign over all things, but we have a greater reason to bless Jehovah's name than even God's sovereignty. The point here is, of course, that the angels and the hosts and the works of Jehovah in verses 20 and 22 have great reason to bless the name of Jehovah, because they are his creatures. He has made them. He rules over them. That's enough for them to bless the name of Jehovah. But the angel, beloved, has never known sin. And the angel, beloved, has never known redemption from sin. Christ did not shed his blood to pay for the sins of the angels. And those angels who fell have been left to perish in their sins. And if the angel has reason to praise God, and they do, we have even greater reason to praise God. The brute creatures of the earth, unconsciously serving God, they must bless Jehovah's name. The sun and the moon, the stars and the locusts and the frogs and the rocks and the fire and the water, they must bless Jehovah's name. But so must we. We must do it even more than they do. The only exception, the only ones in all the universe who refuse to bless Jehovah's name, are the ungodly reprobate. And even they will serve the glory of God. For God will exact praise even from them. On the last day, the reprobate sinner who refused to bow the knee to Christ in this life will be forced to bow the knee to Jesus and confess that Jesus is Lord. And the Lord said himself in the book of Proverbs, chapter 16, verse 4, "The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked, for the day of evil." And yet, how shameful it would be if our voices were silent when the angels bless him, and when his hosts bless him, and when his works bless him. We bless him because he is our God in Jesus Christ. Remember that name, Lord, or Jehovah, which is God's covenant name. Bless the Lord, bless Jehovah, bless the covenant God, the God who is the unchanging, the faithful God who takes his people into fellowship with himself. He does so through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. He took upon himself our sins and miseries. He paid the penalty due to us for our sins to save us. And the angels, they look on at this and they marvel. 1 Peter tells us that they look into these things to try to understand these things. The hosts and the works of God, they serve our salvation. But these angels and these hosts and these works are not the beneficiaries of that great work of salvation. And so we praise God. "Forget not all his benefits," says the psalmist, "who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Has he done that for you, beloved, and shall you not bless him?" And what then are these creatures, these hosts, these works, these angels, and what are we to do when we are called to bless the Lord? Remember, some weeks ago, we looked at what that means to bless the Lord. "Bless ye the Lord," says the psalm. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. The Hebrew word for bless, we saw, means to kneel. Has the idea of kneeling before someone. Kneel before the Lord, O angels, O hosts, O works, and give him your worship. That's the idea. Stop whatever you're doing and do just that. Kneel in humble adoration before the Lord. Fall down on your knees in the dust before your sovereign King. O angels, O hosts, O works, wherever you are, whatever you are, adore the Lord Jehovah. And when you're on your knees before Jehovah, speak well of him. That's the idea too of bless, to speak well of someone. O angels, O hosts, O works, you can't add anything to the greatness of Jehovah, to the glory of Jehovah, but you can do this. You can extol him, you can praise him, you can confess him, you can speak well of him. And really, beloved, there is no greater activity, there is no more important activity than that. That's the reason why God made us, that we might bless him. With our words, yes, with our actions, and even with our thoughts. And then not to be outdone, at the end of the psalm, the psalmist adds his own voice. Bless the Lord, O my soul. He's called upon the angels. He's called upon the hosts. He's called upon the works. But he's not going to be silent himself. At the end of the psalm, he adds, bless the Lord, O my soul. Ending the psalm where he began in verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, says verse 1. And then verse 22, bless the Lord, O my soul. And one day, in heaven, according to Revelation 5:13, all the creatures will bless the Lord. Quote, and every creature which is in heaven, and on the earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing, and honor, and glory, and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb, forever and ever. And we shall add our voices too, and bless the Lord, O my soul. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we bless thy name. We humble ourselves before thee. We speak well of thee, the God of our salvation. For thou art highly exalted as the King of kings and Lord of lords, and thou art our Redeemer in Jesus Christ thy Son. In whose name we pray. Amen.